weather is bright and sunny and the churches are thin. But it is a joy to see you all here this day and to welcome you as we come to celebrate the gifts and the blessings from Almighty God. And my stomach is already rumbling from the smell of potatoes and bacon. And it's probably going to get worse as the service goes on, so we'll eventually get there and receive some great nourishment downstairs afterwards. In the meantime, may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Visitor, we'd like to encourage you to take a welcome packet. They are located on the Shepherd's Crook out in the narthex, right there in the area where you come into the main sanctuary. So as I'm sharing these announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad. They're located in each pew. After you've filled it out, pass it to the other people in your pew, and then pass it back to the middle after you're done. If you notice that somebody who normally sits near you is not here today, I'd also encourage you to reach out to them this week. Give them a call just to see how they're doing and let them know that they were missed. If you have any prayer requests, you can put them on the cards that are located in those red pads. And then make sure they get passed to the center, to the end of the pew, and put into the little plastic holder there. The ushers will pick them up and bring them up to the pastor for the time of joys and concerns. Okay, now let's move on to the moments of informality. Most of these announcements will be located in your bulletin, so you can get more information and get all the details in your bulletin. But there are two that are not in the bulletin. The first is that the witness meeting is in your bulletin, and it's scheduled for 6:30 on Tuesday. It'll be on Friday instead at 6:30. So the witness committee meeting is not this Tuesday at 6:30. It's Friday. And the other thing that's not in your bulletin is recently there was a problem with some of the wall coming, some of the plaster coming off of the wall in the organ chamber. That's the area that's back behind that wall over there. This plaster came off the wall. It needs to be cleaned up. So there's a work crew being formed to come and clean that up. And the work crew will meet May 16th. That's 2 weeks from 2 weeks from yesterday. So it's a Saturday, two Saturdays from now. And it'll be at 9 a.m. So if you could meet here two Saturdays from now at 9 a.m. to help clean up the plaster that came off of the wall. Okay, the other announcements that I'll just go over quickly that are in your bulletin are that there'll be a Vacation Bible School meeting for anybody that can help or wants more information about Vacation Bible School. It'll be at 12:30 today. So that Vacation Bible School meeting is 12:30 today. Anybody that can help or is interested in more information. Vacation Bible School is Everest, Conquering Challenges with God's Mighty Power. And it'll be July 13th. To the 17th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The other thing, Pastor David sort of already let the cat out of the bag, and I think he probably noticed something strange when you came into the building, that you smelt bacon. So today's the Spud Bar. Takeouts are available, but then also after church, everyone's welcome and invited to come down to the Spud Bar. The free will offering will help out with the community outreach programs that we have going on. Now, the committee meetings are listed in your bulletin. If you've submitted a security clearance form, that's for the Pennsylvania Child Abuse History Clearance or the State Police Criminal Background Check, and you've received the response back in the mail at your home, you must bring them into the church for the office to see them, to see the original and make a copy. You'll be able to take the original back home, but the office needs to see them to have it on record here. Living Last Supper yard signs, sounds like you may have heard this before. It's been out there the last couple of weeks. Just bring the signs back into the church. We'll store them, use them next year. They're generic. If you have a good place at your home where you want to keep them and save them till next year and bring them back, just put a note in the box. The Rick Sims Memorial Work Trip, things are starting to gear up. Everybody's starting to get excited about that. That'll be in late June. If you wanted to contribute to the materials, There's a little flyer in your bulletin and an envelope in your pew that you can help designate a gift for that. Also, everybody, whether you're a member of the congregation, a friend of the congregation, anybody in the community that would like to get one of the T-shirts that we're planning to get this year. You might have remembered the yellow ones from last year. There's some red ones this year. There's a form in the I believe there's a form in the bulletin. Is there a form in the bulletin for that? Or is the sign out in the narthex? Maybe there's a sign up out in the narthex. Sign up out in the narthex. You can order one of the shirts. It's a nice red shirt with a nice message on the back of it. So you can order those. In the upper rooms are available in the narthex. So that is the moments of informality. That's it. Would you please stand for the call to worship? Come to the household of love, for God is love. Come to the vineyard of grace, for God is gracious. Come bathe in baptismal waters, for God's Spirit awaits. Come to the household of love, for God is love.
Come, all our beloved here.
Please join in the unison prayer.
Divine and mighty Lord, plant us in the soil of your love, for Christ is our vine, and we are our branches. And everything we say, and everything we do here, help us abide in the vine, that we may bear
Please remain standing for the prayer of praise. It's number 79 in your red hymnal in the pew. Holy God, we praise thy name.
Good morning. How I just have girls today. What did you do? Did you break your arm, hurt your arm? Oh, what did you do? Something on the what? On the love seat. Were you doing dangerous tricks? Oh, okay. Did it hurt? Did it make you cry? You screamed. I think I would have screamed too. Yes. Oh my goodness. So have you two had a good day? Yes. You did you do that Friday? Saturday? Yesterday. Because I saw you Thursday and you didn't have it on. Do you ever have a cast?
No.
Me neither. Have you? I don't think so. No. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope it feels better.
My mom has, though.
Your mom has had one? Yeah. Sometimes that happens. Hey, do you like grapes?
Yes.
Do you like grapes? Green ones or red ones or purple ones or blue ones? Purple? Seeds or no seeds?
All of them.
No seeds. Yeah, I like them without seeds. Did you ever bite into a grape seed? They are. How many have bit into a grape seed? Did your tongue go? Oh, they're nasty. We used to go to the grapevine up behind Grandma's house. They were the beautiful round blue Concord grapes. You just squeezed them into your mouth and swallowed and spit out the skins. The skins were, and the seeds were, but the inside was yummy. And every year, Grandma would go out early, like February, March, and cut the branches, trim it way back, and then it would grow beautifully and have wonderful grapes for us. But you know, Jesus talks about him being the vine. That's the big center part. And when Grandma trimmed it, she made room for the branches. And Jesus said, I'm the vine. He's the vine, and we are the branches. Well, that's kind of silly. But what he really meant was that the vine provides all the good food and nourishment for the branches to grow. And so we get all of our good stuff, the nourishment, in reading the words about Jesus to know how we are to live our lives and how we're to be his branches and serve for him. So in the bulletins today, you'll see that there's all kinds of branches and everything. I'll give you each two. You get an older one and a younger one today. Does that sound good? And you can see which you like better. There's one for big kids and one for younger kids in there. So let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these girls, we are grateful. And pray that we might always see you as that vine and us as your branches attached to you and knowing that you are always there and that you guide and direct us. Bless these girls, their moms and dads, all that care for them, that they might live and grow for you. For it's in Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Please join in the responsive reading. It's found on page 752 of your red hymnal in the pew. It is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why have you so far from me, from the words of my mouth?
O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. But you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness. To you they cried and were saved.
In you they trusted, and their trust is in you.
But I am a worm and not human. All who see me mock at me. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him. Upon you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. I am poured out like water. My heart is like wax. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Indeed, dogs surround me. I can count all my bones. They divide my garments among them. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for God.
Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn.
Surely the Lord has done it. Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings? Gracious God, you are the vine grower, and we belong to you. Thank you for carefully tending us, especially in difficult times. You provide what we need in order to grow as disciples of Jesus. Help us to abide in him, the true vine. May these offerings and our lives bear much fruit and bring glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you'll see our prayer concerns for the week. Doris is coming along kind of slowly in rehab now at Forbes Hospital. We'll want to continue to remember her. Also for the situations not only in Baltimore, but around our country and around the world where there is tension due to race and other issues. I received a text Friday late afternoon, early evening from that Shirley Peckman had passed in his arms. I don't have any more information on that. I'm awaiting a call from the funeral home as to exactly what will be taking place with her. So continue to remember them as well. Leanna just told me she got a text that her mom is on the way to the emergency room with some heart palpitations. Both her parents had heart attacks at 52, so that's always a concern. Also, two additional ones here, Joe, recovering from infection and surgery, and of Erie, is having knee replacement this Friday. And remember, of course, the situation in Nepal, where I haven't seen a latest, at least 4,000. Has it risen up to six? Did I hear 6,000 deaths? One of our clergy members in Pittsburgh, his daughter had just gone over to Nepal shortly before the earthquake occurred, and they have heard from her. She is fine. I think they were trying to get her out, but I think she's saying, nope, there's a need for me to be here. And so she's offering what assistance she can to families and individuals there. So with that being said, let us unite our hearts and our spirits then for situations in our midst and around the world. Hymn number 172, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Thank you.
Gracious and loving God, we are in your presence this day. We have experienced the love of your Son, Jesus Christ. We've experienced the sustaining presence and power of your Holy Spirit. And we've experienced your love, grace, and forgiveness, O God, through it all. We know that your Son, Jesus Christ, comes to us as the vine. And seeks to attach each and every one of us as branches that we might receive our nourishment, our strength, our sustenance from him. Oh God, we know that you have created each and every one of us for great things within your kingdom. You shower gifts and blessings upon each and every one of us, oh God, every single day for the work and ministry of your kingdom. Oh God, may we be faithful with what you bless and anoint us with. You call us to go into the world, to be your church, to be your disciples, to be your servants that are active, alive, and well, so that the teachings of Jesus Christ might come alive in the hearts, the minds, and the spirits of people. Oh God, we pray that continually you will bless us and anoint us so that we in turn might be a blessing and a gift to those individuals in need. That we, oh God, on a daily basis might be a part of that that you desire to change, to transform, and to make new. That we will boldly go where perhaps others have never gone. That we will boldly go, oh God, where we are needed. Perhaps a pathway that is well-worn, perhaps a pathway that is barely journeyed, perhaps, O God, to do something new. O God, we know that we don't always do and say and think what is pleasing to you. Sin enters and creeps in. And so we pray that as we are preparing to receive this holy meal of communion, that your grace and forgiveness might abound in our lives, restoring us in our relationship with you, forgiving us for that which is past, remembering it no more. May we celebrate this day, O God, for we've experienced your love, your grace, and your forgiveness. You are the one that welcomes us into your presence with wide open arms and welcomes us as the Father welcomed that prodigal son. You welcome us, O God, as the prodigal son and daughter, forgiving all that is past and restoring us once again to right relationship with you. O God, for the hurts and the needs that surround us, for the places where there is tension and turmoil, where there is hunger physically and spiritually, where there is a need for your holy presence, where there is a need of comfort, where there is a need for healing, where there is a need for wisdom and understanding. Oh God, where there are the lost, the least, and the lonely, we pray for your holy presence. Oh God, we pray that somehow this week we might be used for great and wonderful things within your kingdom. That you might use us as a church, as a congregation, as individuals for our mission and ministry within your kingdom. Oh God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the New Testament book of Acts, beginning in chapter 8 with verse 26. Let us hear these words for us this day. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So Philip got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" And then Philip began to speak. And starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus Christ. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. In these moments now, O God, that we share together, we pray that you will give us a sense of rest and peace and comfort. O God, comfort us from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Change is difficult. It's a challenge to families. It's a challenge to businesses, to churches, to communities. It's even difficult at times for entire countries. In fact, probably the only person who really likes change is a baby with a dirty diaper. Throughout history, there are recorded events when people have made comments about of being afraid to change and to new things, something that's different. German writer Heinzmann, who warned people in 1795 about reading, he said that consuming the word leads to a weakening of the eyes, heat rashes, gout, arthritis, hemorrhoids, asthma, pulmonary disease, indigestion, blocking of the bowels, nervous disorder, migraines, epilepsy, hypochondria, and melancholy. Whew, boy, we better never pick up a book. But isn't it fascinating? That's what he said about reading, and he was a writer. And then in 1803, preacher Jedediah Morris said, "Let us guard against the insidious encroachment of innovation. That evil and beguiling spirit is now stalking to and fro through the earth, seeking whom he may destroy." Safe to say that I'll bet there weren't any contemporary services in his congregation. 1926, the Knights of Columbus warned that the telephone would break up home life and the old practice of visiting friends. And about the same time, the Dean of Princeton observed that cars were a threat to America's young people. The general effect of the automobile, he said, was to make the present generation look lightly on the moral code. And he warned that youth with cars would begin to drive all over the place on Sundays except to church. And finally, just a few years ago, 2008, The Atlantic magazine asked the question, "Is Google making us stupid?" The jury is still out. Resistance to change and something new just seems to be a part of our very core of who we are as individuals, even when those changes have the potential of being beneficial. The 8th chapter of Acts, Philip is challenged to do a new thing, a new challenge, a new responsibility, to go to a new place, down a new road toward the south from Galilee to Gaza on a wilderness road. And the angel is ordering Philip to leave the comforts of the city of Jerusalem and to go in a new direction off the normal path of life. And on his way, Philip meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this man already has two strikes against him from a religious point of view. First, he is a foreigner from Ethiopia. He is not allowed in the temple. He is not allowed in the presence of Almighty God. And secondly, he is a eunuch. And the Torah, the Old Testament, is very explicit about eunuchs. If you want to read it, it's Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1. Let's just say that no one, no male who has had certain parts crushed or missing is allowed to enter into the temple. But the Ethiopian is a believer. He believes in this God of Israel. He's just made this long, difficult journey to worship in Jerusalem. And he's now on his way home reading from the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit intercedes on Philip's life and says, "Go over to the chariot and join them. Join this unclean Gentile." And so he goes. And there is a change. What a change it is from what Philip has been doing in Jerusalem and in Samaria. The Bible says that he got up and he went. Well, we can notice in this passage of Scripture that whenever the angel of God said, get up and go, Philip got up and he went. It was very simple. He was obedient. God says, get up and we should go. When God says go, we should go. Sit beside and guide. You see, Philip immediately goes to this chariot and is invited in and begins to be a spiritual guide to this Ethiopian man. And as they're going down along the road, and Philip is interpreting the scripture and sharing the good news with this man, eventually they pass some water, and this Ethiopian says to Philip, what in the world is preventing me from being baptized right now? Well, Philip can't think of a single reason. What is there to hinder this man from becoming a baptized believer? And so into the water they go, and Philip baptizes this man. And then the Spirit of God snatches Philip away. But the scriptures tell us that this Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing and celebrating that he has received and been a part of the good news. This Ethiopian eunuch who had struggled as an outsider is now an insider. An insider to the community of Jesus Christ. Everybody have a card? Did the ushers do their job? You're not rating my sermon today. As some wondered, you're not voting whether or not I'm staying for another year, which some have asked. But I want you to take out your card, and I want you to think of someone in your family, someone in your neighborhood, someone at work who needs a Philip to sit down beside them and become their spiritual guide. Yesterday I was at a restaurant for dinner. And the waitress said to me, what, are you some preacher of some sort? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I'm an atheist. And I slid over and I said, have a seat. Let's talk. She said, I don't have time. I got 6 kids I'm trying to provide for, and I work every Sunday. My mom's mom died when she was 12 years old. My mom turned her back on the church, and that's just the way I've been raised. That person's name will go on my card. She needs a Philip. So put a name on that card of who you know needs a Philip, someone to guide them into the life of the church. And then when you come up for communion, that card goes in this red bucket. And that red bucket is going to be on the altar for the rest of the month, where every Sunday we are going to pray for that person. But that might also mean that at some point this week, that you are being called to be a Philip for someone somewhere who needs a spiritual guide. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that you always challenge us to go into the world, to live the good news, to share the good news, and to be the good news. But today, O God, we take that one and we name them. No longer can we sit passively and just think, but you call us to be a Philip and to go. and to do and to sit beside, to share, to converse, to guide, to direct. May your Spirit, O God, rest upon each and every one of us as we seek to be faithful to your call. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. We come together today to remember. To remember that Jesus Christ gathered in that upper room with a body of believers, those who had experienced a sense of his power and presence and good news to the world. And as they were sharing together in that Seder meal, that great historic meal of deliverance from slavery and captivity in Egypt to the promised land to freedom, at some point Jesus took a loaf. He took bread, he lifted it to the heavens, and he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you. Eat and remember me." The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's been broken for you. Then at some point during that meal, Jesus also picked up a cup. Now they would have been mindful in the Jewish tradition of the sacrificial system. In order for grace and forgiveness to be received, an animal lost its life and the blood was dashed upon the altar and the priest pronounced them forgiven and clean. Jesus said, "Today this cup becomes the new covenant." That old sacrificial system was wiped away as his blood was shed upon the cross for the forgiveness of the sins of the whole world. The blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's been shed for you. May we drink and remember him. This morning we will be receiving communion through intinction. I ask that you follow the direction of the ushers. Piece of bread will be handed to you that then is dipped into the grape juice, and then you may commune and eat it. The United Methodist Church, this table is open to everyone, all God's people. Doesn't matter whether you are young or old, a member here or a member anywhere, we invite you to come. The table is prepared. We are invited. Let us come. Gracious and loving God, your presence is upon us. And within this holy mystery, we've experienced your holy and awesome presence, your grace and your forgiveness. That in this moment, O God, we are restored to health and wholeness, physically and spiritually within your kingdom. Continue, O God, to bless us and use us for the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. For it's in his holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, as you sent Philip, so you send us. And may we be your faithful servants in the world. For we pray in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.